But the day he comes, are your vessels filled with oil? Are you faithful serving ones?
Let's go out to meet him.
He's the most precious one.
Wide to you.
Amen.
Lord, I'm ready to be found.
Amen.
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 I've really been enjoying whenever we're singing and people have been they've been typing their prayers into the chat box.
Right.
So maybe if the AV brothers can allow it, why don't we sing this song again? And when there's a line that hits you, this song is full of prayers. Just send in a prayer, and then we hear, declare a prayer while we sing. Amen. Amen. Let's sing it again.
Are we ready? We know not the day he comes. Are your vessels filled with oil? Are the faithful serving ones? Let's go out. Most precious one.
one more song, and it might be new for some of you, and it's in the hymnal. It's song 1205, and we want to press on, press on toward the goal. Amen. And our goal is the onclus of Christ.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Press on, press on,
pressing on. How about we just take 10 seconds from that hymn that we just sang? Just declare one line or one phrase or
two,
one
make
verb.
Up 20.
Let's declare it all together.
I need to make up like 20.
Hallelujah!
Hallelujah!
We are pressing on.
We're pressing on this afternoon for one thing only, Christ our prize. Amen. So take out your outline now. We are covering outline 11. This is on the three stages of salvation, reward, and punishment. Okay. And make sure you have a pen ready and also your Bibles. Okay. And so we are going to press on to gain the Christ of God. Okay, I'll pass it to the brothers.
Praise the Lord, we're pressing on. Hallelujah. It's wonderful. My name is Juan Fuentes, and I'm with the church in Newington. I will be covering the first part of this message, and then Brother Frank Hung from New York will be going on to Roman numeral 2. So, Roman numeral 1 of this message says the three stages of God's salvation. And it's marvelous that during this summer school, we are covering God's full salvation. And the reason we refer to God, to salvation as being full, is that God saves us in our entirety. We are human beings, and we have a body that touches the physical things. We have a soul, which is related to the psychological things. We have a mind to think, we have a will to make decisions, and we have an emotion that through which we feel things. We feel hate, we feel love. But deeper inside of us, the Lord made us with a spirit, and we are the only creature that has a spirit. So God's full salvation refers to the fact that God, in his mercy toward us, first comes into our spirit and saves our spirit. Secondly, from our spirit, as we cooperate with the life within, he moves into our mind, our will, and our emotion. That's our soul. And eventually, in the twinkling of an eye, we will be glorified. So we want to look at these three stages of his salvation, or we can say three stages of our salvation, of how we are saved in our entirety, spirit, soul, and body. And I want to ask the brothers, did you receive the PowerPoint? Yeah, so here we are, the three stages of God's salvation. And I'd like to start with Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. So it says here, therefore, how about we read it together? Therefore, let us also, having so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, put away every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and run with endurance the race which is set before us. How? Looking away unto Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down on the right hand of the throne of God. So here we see a picture of a multitude that is witnessing our running this race. Those are the saints that have gone before us. And unless we ourselves get perfected, they will not receive the reward themselves. So they're cheering for us as we run the Christian race. So here we see that the Christian life is made like a race. And the way we finish the race and the way we run the race is by looking away unto Jesus. We keep him as our goal. We keep him as our way. And in this way, we can keep running this race. Brothers, could you go on to the next 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24 and 25? Let's read this together. Do you not know that those who run on a race course all run, but one receives the prize? Run in this way, that you may lay hold. And everyone who contends exercises self-control in all things. They then, that they may receive a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. Okay, brothers, thank you. So I just wanted to mention something at the onset of this sharing, and that is, brothers and sisters, what a mercy that we have received God's life. And because we have received God's life, we have been placed in this course to run this race. And actually, this is the most important thing in our, the most important thing in our life is how we run this race, because this affects our eternal future. On the one hand, because we have received God's life, we will be with God for eternity. But in his mercy and in his wisdom, God placed an incentive for the believers to run their race with endurance and to run their race in a way that we could receive a reward. Brother Frank will cover this. But I wanted to mention at the onset that your career, your dreams, your desires, all these things are not the goal of your life. The goal of your life is to cross that finish line and receive a well done, good and faithful slave by the Lord and receive a crown of righteousness. So this puts into perspective our human life. Why am I living for? Actually, brothers and sisters, we're living to run this Christian race. Brothers, could we go on to the first stage? So we will begin here by covering the first stage of our salvation. In your outline, it says the first stage of salvation is the stage of regeneration. And it is in this stage our spirit is saved. So you see here that our spirit, soul, and body, that's who we are, a tripartite being. And when we repent of our sins, when we open our heart and receive the Lord Jesus as our Savior, God as the Spirit comes into me. So that is regeneration. And that's the first stage. That's like, that's just like the beginning of the race. That in order for me to enter the race, I have to be born anew. And the being born anew is like to entering the race. So in 1 Peter 1:3, it tells us here, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has regenerated us. So here we're regenerated in our spirit and to a living hope. What is our living hope? It's Christ in us, the hope of glory. We're hoping that this Christ will spread from our spirit to our soul and eventually to our body. Okay. And so brothers, we can take that off. So here we have the start of the race. Here we are, born again, regenerated. We all began this race. We're running, we're starting to run this race. And at the beginning, we're very encouraged. We want to serve the Lord. We want to give our lives to the Lord. And that's wonderful. And that's, and we go through a kind of honeymoon with the Lord. And that is proper and that is wonderful. We've just fell in love with him. He saved us. I had a destiny that had nothing to do with God. And now my life has been brought into God and God has been brought into my life. That's wonderful. Okay, so then, brothers, you can take that off. And yes, so here, we saw our spirit, soul, and body. The other verse that is in your outline is John 3:6, which says that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. So it's our spirit that is born of God. And this takes place in one instant. When you open your heart and you repent of your sins, the Spirit of God comes into you and we enter into this race. And this basically puts us in the race. And this is where we start the second stage, in which we start to experience Christ in many, many things. So here, the second stage is the progressing stage. So we are progressing in our salvation. And it says here, this is the stage of transformation. This stage saves our soul from from our spirit, we need to allow Christ to spread into our soul day by day. And I would like to just mention here, brothers and sisters, the second stage, it lasts our lifetime. So the Lord may give us 80 years, the Lord may give us 70 years, the Lord may give us 40 years, the Lord may give us 90 years. However many years the Lord has given us is what the Lord has allotted to us to run that race. And he expects that within that period of time, we will allow him to fill our mind, our will, and our emotion with himself. So as we consider our own experience, maybe we lie. Maybe we take things that are not ours. Even though we're saved, we got regenerated. But somebody asked us about the $5 that were on the table, and they said, oh, I don't know. But actually, the $5 are in your pocket. So you just lied, and you cover another sin, which is to steal. So the more we come to the Lord day by day, so let's say you took those $5 and then you said you didn't take them. Then you come to the Lord in the morning the next day and the Lord reminds you, oh, first you lied to your mom because you told her that you didn't take the $5. And actually you took him, so you stole. So at that moment, in your experience, you have a choice to receive the light that comes from God in your conscience and confess to the Lord and say, Lord, I am sorry I took the $5. And Lord, I'm sorry I lied to my mom about that. So then what happens is I go to my mom. I say, Mom, I stole those $5. And when you asked me, I told you that I didn't do it. I'm sorry I lied to you, Mom. You know what happens at that time? At that time, more of the element of God is spread from our spirit into our soul. Perhaps we're thinking thoughts that we shouldn't be thinking. But what happens is we're also contacting the Word of God. And as we read the Word, we realize that thought doesn't match God's thought. So then the light in the Word causes me to repent and say, Lord, I am sorry. I'm thinking those thoughts. I do not agree that I would think those kinds of thoughts. Please forgive me. The moment we do that, then the Spirit of God is added to us. And we are in this stage and we're progressing. You know, as we're progressing our stage, we may feel jealousy. We are maybe jealous of others for what they have or what they don't have or things that we would want to have that others have. Of course, that's a sin. But then the Lord enlightens us and we confess. So the way to go on in this progressing stage, I would say, is by spending time with the Lord, by receiving the Lord's light both in our spirit and in the Word, through confessing our sins and allowing the Lord to add more of his element into us. In this way, the things that we used to think that were right, we realize, no, that's not correct. That's not according to God. And not because somebody told us you shouldn't think that. It's actually God has added his element into us, and we don't think those thoughts anymore. We're going to say a lie, and then the Lord stops us from saying that lie. Or we have an attitude and the Lord checks on our attitude and we turn. This is the progressing stage. The more we communicate with the Lord, the more we're in fellowship with the Lord, the more we are open to the Lord's speaking to us, the more we progress in this stage. Okay, I had a verse here that I wanted to read to you. It's in Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20. He says, woe to those who call evil good. And that may be our case. We may think something is good when it is evil. And good evil. Who put darkness for light and light for darkness. Who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. That is not a good situation. Okay, so could you put on the second stage slide? So here we see that from our spirit, the Lord wants to spread to our soul. So here we have this wonderful verse, 2 Corinthians 3:18. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding and reflecting as a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed from one degree of glory to another degree of glory, as from the Lord's spirit. These, brothers and sisters, should be our daily life. So whether we are a student, whether we hold a job, whether we are a stay-at-home person, we are in this race together. And day by day, it counts. Day by day, we look away unto Jesus. Okay, so let's go on to the next slide. So here we have Philippians 3, 12 and 14. Here the Apostle Paul says, he's kind of in the middle of the race, and he says, not that I already obtained, I'm already perfected. I didn't make it yet, but I pursue. So I continue on this race that I may lay hold of for that which I also have been laid hold of by Christ Jesus. Brothers, I do not account on myself to have laid hold, but one thing I do. What do I do? Forget the things behind, and I stretch forward to the things which are before. I pursue toward the goal for the prize to which God in Christ Jesus has called me upward. Go ahead to the next slide. So here is a slide in the, this is the middle of the race. Everybody kind of keep going. And you know, we need refreshments along the way. You know, sometimes as you see these races, people give water to the ones passing by. You know, I was thinking sometimes the summer school is like the saints, the brothers are passing water to us. Keep going. Don't stop. Don't take a detour. Here is some more water. That's the Spirit being dispensed and ministered to us by the saints through this wonderful means, which is the summer school. Okay, then we come to the third stage. And the third stage is, go ahead with the third stage is the completing stage. Here, our body is saved. So now you see, the Lord is spread from our spirit, has saturated our soul, and eventually the Lord will glorify our body. So here in Romans 8:30 says, and those whom he predestinated, this he also called, and those whom he called, this he also justified, and those whom he justified, this he also glorified. That means that at this stage, our spirit has been saturated with the life of God. Our soul has been saturated with the life of God. So we think the thoughts of God. We choose according to God. We love according to God. And our body has been fully saturated with the life of God. Praise the Lord that our salvation is a full salvation. The Lord will save us. The Lord has saved our spirit. The Lord is saving our soul. And the Lord will save our bodies. That's the redemption of our bodies. That's the consummation of this race. So go ahead, brothers. The next one. So here, hallelujah, the end of the race. We all, you know, one thing I wanted to say is this race is not against each other. Actually, in this race, we are helping. We're wanting each other to finish the race. It's not like I want to be first and you second. No, I want you to run the race with me so that we can cross that finish line and then receive a reward. So go ahead, put the next one. Here, the Lord, you know, here the Apostle Paul, this is at the end of his journey in 2 Timothy. He says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. He crossed that line. He realized in his spirit, I finished the course. I am done. And I have kept the faith. Henceforth, he had an assurance in him. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will recompense me in that day, and not only me, but also all those who love his appearing. And then in Revelation 22:12, behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to render to each one as his work is. Excuse me. So just to conclude, brothers and sisters, I wanted to mention again, our Christian life and the race that we're on is the most important thing we can do in our life. It's not the career that we pick. It's not the Nobel Prize that we may win. All those things will perish. They have nothing to do with eternity. The only thing that will remain is the Christ that we gain first through our regeneration. Then in our progressing stage, we cooperate with the Lord by receiving him in his word, the light in his word, as he's speaking in our spirit. And then as we cooperate with the Lord in this way, eventually, by the Lord's mercy, we will finish that grace, and the Lord will give us a reward. So I'll turn it over to Brother Frank.
Hallelujah. Praise Amen. The Lord. My name is Frank Hong. I'm from the church in New York City. Young people, have you been enjoying your salvation? Oh, wow, what a full salvation we have. I just want to kind of repeat a couple of things that Brother Juan has shared, that this salvation is a race. It begins with the regeneration that happened in our spirit, and that took an instant. But then the salvation of our soul will take your whole lifetime. And eventually, the consummation, the end of that salvation, is the glorification of our body. That would also happen in the twinkling of an eye. Now, as Brother Juan mentioned, this is a marathon. This is not a sprint. It takes your whole life to run this race. And I want to add that there is no dropout from this race. No matter how you feel, how you have tarried, there is no dropout. You know, this morning I really enjoy a verse that is 1 Thessalonians 5:24. Faithful is he who calls you. He also will do it. The Lord is running this race with us, and he will make sure that we cross that finish line. You know, even, you know, a couple days ago in our small group with the senior brothers, there's a question that came up. Well, what if somebody believe in the Lord, but later deny his faith? Well, we have some very good fellowship, but the answer that we came up with is, even if someone deny his faith, but if he genuinely was believe in the Lord, he was regenerated, even though he deny his faith, the Lord knows how to help him to finish that course. May not be this age. It may have to wait till the next age, but the Lord will make sure that we experience his full salvation. It might take some 80 years. It might take some 800 years. Time is not a factor with God, but he will make sure that every one of his children finish the course. And also, I want to emphasize, this race, we're not competing with each other. There is no gold medal, there is no silver medal, and there is no bronze medal. We all have our own course, and we have to be faithful to finish that course. I remember one time the Lord asked Peter, "You follow me." But Peter turned around and saw John. He says, "What about this man?" The Lord says, "Don't worry about John. You follow me." So whatever the Lord has allotted to us, don't compare with yourself with someone else. You know, sometimes we have a thought, I can never be like brother so-and-so. So why bother running this Christian race? I'm never going to make it. Well, the Lord can make it. Well, make it in you. But, you know, don't compare with someone else. They have their course and we have our course. So we need to keep running to finish this course, to experience God's full salvation. Well, we come to this second point in this lesson, that in the Bible, in order for us to run this course in this lifetime, the Bible reveals that there is the matter of reward and punishment. You know, in order for you to learn something, to finish school, to graduate, there has to be some incentive as a reward, or some punishment, warnings, that if you don't do this, something not so good is gonna happen to you. This is not only logical, but this is also revealed in the Bible. You know, a lot of Christians have this thought that God is so loving, so whether I believe in the Lord when I'm 18 or when I believe in the Lord when I'm 80, it doesn't matter. We're all going to the heavens. We're all going to end up in heaven. Well, this is a very natural thought. I'm so glad that many of you have received the Lord and got to know God's full salvation at such a young age. Well, you have a lot of time to experience and to grow in this salvation. So But don't waste that time. You have a lot of time, but don't waste that time. So in the Bible, there is this matter of reward and punishment. And I would like to show you a couple verses. Now in 1 Corinthians 3:14 and 15, it says, if anyone's work which he has built upon the foundation remains, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is consumed, he will suffer loss. Loss is a kind of punishment and warning. But he himself will be saved, yes, so, as through fire. Let me also read Revelation 24b. And they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. For 1,000 years. So this is known as the millennial kingdom. It's not mentioned, we don't know much detail about this millennial kingdom, but the Lord has set up this way in that those who grow and develop in their salvation in this age, when the Lord comes back, that 1,000 years will be a time of joy with our Lord. It's also referred to as the wedding feast. Now our Lord will come back as the bridegroom, and we are his bride. So those who are ready will enter into his wedding feast to enjoy this feast for 1,000 years. But those who are foolish, or those who are lazy, who did not learn all the lessons that they should have learned in this life, they will be in a place where it says it's an outer darkness. It's not a pleasant place. And there will be the weeping and gnashing of teeth. No, gnashing of teeth is a sign of regret. Why didn't I do it when I had the chance? Well, young people, we need to be faithful to tell you, the Lord has put you on this race. The Lord has saved you. And not only you're saved eternally, but you need to experience his full salvation. And if you don't cooperate with the Lord, it might be that in the next age, you have to make up what you're missing today. So that's get ready today. That's by the oil. Get ready, and that's be faithful to the Lord to develop our salvation. Well, in order to, how do we get ready? How do we prepare for the Lord's coming? Well, the Lord didn't leave us in the dark. In Matthew chapter 25, and I hope you can circle or highlight this chapter, because this chapter is the key of how we can prepare for the Lord's coming, how we can develop our salvation. In this chapter, the disciples came to ask the Lord, Lord, when you come back, what will be the sign? How do we know that your coming is soon? Well, and in this chapter, the Lord gave two parables. One is about the 10 virgins. 5 are prudent and 5 are foolish. The prudent ones have not only the oil in their lamps, but they also have the extra oil in their vessels. The 5 foolish ones only have oil in their lamps. You know, the lamps in the Bible is a picture of our spirit. I hope you remember this chapter as a way for us to properly prepare for the Lord's coming. And I want to kind of put that in a summary. So how do we prepare? Well, based on Matthew chapter 25, there's this two matter of life and service. First, the Lord gave this parable about this 10 virgins that show us that we need to grow in life. What does that mean? Well, when you believe in the Lord, that life is in your spirit, and it's represented by that oil in the lamp. Now, all 10 virgins have oil in their lamps. So this also proves that all 10 are believers, Christians. It's not that half are believers, half are unbelievers, as some Christians believe. But according to this parable, they all have oil in their lamps. But the 5 prudent ones, they took the time. They got the extra oil in their vessels. And vessels here represent mainly our soul. Well, they spend time with the Lord to allow the Lord to go from their spirit and spread into their soul, into what they think, how they make their decisions, what they like. They check with the Lord. They say, Lord, I like to do this and that. What do you think? Well, maybe what the Lord likes is different from yours initially. But if you spend more time with the Lord, maybe the Lord started to change the things that you like and started to change the way you make your decisions. You no longer just make decisions based on the pros and the cons and things that you can see, but you check with the Lord. Lord, what do you like? Well, in this way, the Lord, as the oil, is flowing from your spirit into your soul, and you're getting the extra oil. And that's the spirit. We need to be filled with spirit. So this is one way we can prepare for the Lord's coming. We need to grow in life. And life does take time to grow. The second way for us to prepare for the Lord's coming is service. We need to be faithful in service. In Matthew chapter 25, the Lord gave a second parable. There were three slaves, and the master gave them all talents. One got five talents, the other got two, and the third slave got one. And the one that received the five right away went and traded and gained another five talents. Similarly, the one that received the two also got another two talents. They used their talents. They did not bury their talents. The third one, the one who got only one, he saw the master is a hard man. So he went and dug on the earth and buried this talent on the earth. And when his master came, the first two, the master are happy. And the master told them, come into this feast, enter into the joy of your master. But to this third slave, he says, cast this useless slave. Well, it's useless. The Lord didn't just abandon him. The Lord says, he went into the outer darkness, and there is the weeping and the gnashing of teeth. The master still wanted him to learn the lesson. He did not use his talent. So how do we prepare for the Lord's coming? We need to be faithful in service. Again, don't compare yourself with someone else. The Lord has touched you to serve in a certain way, to take care of other people in a certain way. Maybe those people include your families. You need to consider, how do I be or bring in blessings to my family? That may be your service, and you need to be faithful in that service. So you need to use the talent. We all have a talent, at least one. We need to use that talent, and we need to serve in the church, in the body of Christ, which is the church. So whatever the Lord has touched us, we need to use that properly. Lastly, I just want to conclude with three phrases that I enjoyed and I like to share with you. Number one is, stay in the process of God's full salvation. Yesterday, Brother David Kong shared with us, and this is what he left us with. You know, salvation is not just something that happened in an instant. Yes, your eternal salvation, you will never lose that. You will never lose the salvation, the eternal salvation. But there's so much more in God's full salvation that we need to experience. And this is a process that we need to experience day by day. So stay in this process of God's full salvation. We're regenerated. Remember, we need to be shepherded. We need to feed on the Lord, and we need to be renewed, be transformed. We need to be built up with others, and we need to be conformed to the image of Christ, and eventually we'll be glorified. All the things that we have learned in the Summer School of Truth are for us to experience. So stay in the process of God's full salvation. Second is, spend your time wisely. You know, to grow takes time. How do you grow? You have to spend time with the Lord. How do you serve? We can't just say, I'm standing with you. You need to many times spend your time, your energy, to take care of the younger ones, to take care of the children, to be with your companions, to minister life to them. So spend your time wisely. Well, with your time, then there's a matter of your priority. You need to get your priorities straight. Today, we can be doing so many things, but we need the proper priority. We need to take care of our development in God's full salvation. We want to hear the Lord when he comes, good and faithful slave, you were faithful in a few things. Now enter into the joy of your Lord, and I will put you over many more things. So young people, let's heed this warning, and let's really receive this incentive to grow in our full salvation. Praise the Lord. Amen. I'll end here. I'll pass it on back to the brothers.
Thank you, brothers. Oh, that was such a wonderful and encouraging word. I think in this summer school, we're really appreciating the fact that we've been saved. Hallelujah. Well, we're not in the initial stage, but we're in the progressing stage. And I was really touched by our need to be open to the Lord, to allow him, right, to spread in us, to renew us, to transform us, until that we can be fully conformed, and eventually we'd be ready, right, for his coming. And this is really an incentive, right? And it's also a warning to us. But it really depends on, I would say, this one word, cooperation, right? Will we cooperate with the Lord? You know, I was just reminded as the brothers are speaking in 1 Thessalonians 5, of course, I think 23 we're familiar with, right? The God of peace himself sanctify you wholly, and may your spirit, soul, and body be preserved complete. This is what the Lord wants to do, right? He wants to sanctify us wholly, our complete tripartite being. But you know what the next verse says? The next verse says, "Is faithful is he who calls you and who also will do it." So brothers and sisters, this is an encouraging word, right? We have someone in us, right? Someone who is able to do it. We have the God who is faithful. He'd be faithful to fulfill all of his good intention in us and through us. But we just need to cooperate. We need to enjoy the Lord, to grow in life, and we need to be faithful in our service. So I think these two things would be wonderful topics, right, for our discussion and fellowship in our small group this afternoon. Okay, now I think the brothers have some announcements.